Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Well, we appreciate you joining us on a Wednesday here on 97.1 FM Talk. You're listening to The Annie Fry Show. The YouTube live chat poll, which is a place where you can always come and watch The Annie Fry Show as it's happening live. We want to know, in the live chat portion, in that poll that we have up every day, will Democrat usage of profanity be an effective tool for the party? Yes or no? Something that we continue to see coming from Democrats is a very aggressive usage of the English language in ways that I can't even air some of these clips on our show here because the FCC says we're not allowed to. And I wouldn't want your kiddos to have to experience the type of things that are being said by some of these individuals. And that's not to say that there aren't people on the right who use profane language, but there's definitely a concerted effort across the board for people to use this type of language on the left. I think that the idea is it's supposed to show that they're really angry. And this is how they prove it. Joe on YouTube says, until it's not, yes, until it's not, this generation lives on shock value. When something becomes expected, like riots, they become ineffective. I think the shock value is certainly something that is grabbing the attention of people when they use that type of language and they're trying to make a point. A lot of times, all I take away from that is the language and not the actual point. Crystal says Democrats' use of profanity will only appeal to the extreme individuals in their party. So we want to know what you think. If you go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel, you can vote in that poll and let us know if you think that Democrats' usage of profanity is going to be an effective tool in getting their message across. Let's shift gears here a little bit and go to this Meet the Press article interview that the president had this weekend. They're talking about Medicaid, getting the big, beautiful bill done. What kind of cuts might be in store?
What happens if it comes to your desk, has the tax cuts, but also cuts to Medicaid? Would you veto that?
Well, we're not doing that.
Would
no,
you
we're
veto
not,
that?
I would if they were cutting it, but they're not cutting it. They're looking at fraud, waste, and abuse. And nobody minds that if illegal immigrants are in the mix, if people that aren't supposed to be there, people that are non-citizens are in the mix. Nobody minds that. Waste, fraud, and abuse. But we're not cutting Medicaid, we're not cutting Medicare, and we're not cutting Social Security.
So the president telling Kristen Welker there from Meet the Press, they're not cutting those things. There was a CBO, a Congressional Budget Office review of the proposal so far, and According to Senator Ron Wyden, a Democrat from Oregon, this analysis from the nonpartisan independent CBO is straightforward. The Republican plan for health care means benefit cuts and terminated health insurance for millions of Americans who can count on Medicaid. So how do they get this big, beautiful bill done and not cut? And is it something that we should all be concerned about? Let's get to our guest. Joy Murdoch joins us, nationally syndicated columnist, Project 21 ambassador, and of course, a Fox News contributor. Joy, thank you for being here this afternoon. It's good to have you back.
Great to be with you again, Annie.
You know, have you heard about this discussion taking place right now about the possibility of Medicaid cuts in order to get this big, beautiful bill, the Trump tax cuts, paid for? The Republicans, they got to figure something out. What do you think?
Yeah, it's very interesting. You know, right after President Trump was inaugurated, within hours, the Democrats saying, oh, they want to cut Medicaid. They want to cut Medicaid, and just screaming at the tops of their lungs. And a lot of Republicans look at ourselves, like on the radio, and people in Capitol Hill, and what are you talking about? We're not talking about cutting Medicaid. And so I think in a sense that the Democrats, who are very crafty people, very cleverly put the Republicans in a situation that's sort of, you know, backed into a corner and said, we're not going to cut Medicaid. And now there's some question about, you know, can they pay for this big, beautiful bill without doing so? And whether it involves being able to pay for the big, beautiful bill or not, should there be some reform of Medicaid? And I do think there's some very smart things that the GOP ought to do to get this entire program refocused on the truly needy people in this country. This program was launched originally to help pregnant women, poor children, low-income seniors, and disabled people. And now, I'm doing some research on this, writing about this at the moment, Medicaid covered, I think, last year, 83 million people. That's almost exactly one quarter of the country, 25% of the entire U.S. population. So this thing is much, much, much bigger than it was ever intended to be. And so I think there's some smart things the GOP can do that won't involve cutting the program in a way that the Democrats scream and yell about. Number one, going after illegal aliens. If you're an illegal alien and you broke into this country and you don't belong here, you sure as hell should not be getting Medicaid and chewing up money that would be going to old folks who are very poor, kids who are poor, people who are disabled, what have you. I think that's something that most, I would imagine, 70-80% of Americans agree with that. And if the Democrats want to stand up and say, no, we want to give Medicaid to illegal aliens, Republicans should give them free microphones, purchase microphones, and hear talking to this microphone and talk about that as loudly as you can for as long as possible. The American people will run away in disgust. I think fraud is another one. According to the Government Accountability Office, fiscal year 2023, Medicaid improper payments added up to $50.3 billion for just fiscal year 2023. Now, improper payments could be a wrong procedural code, or maybe there's a missing doctor's signature or something like this. But, you know, let's assume 10% of this involves actual, you know, fake patients and phony clinics getting quote unquote treatment from non-existent doctors. Right there, 10% of that is $5 billion. That's a significant amount of money. And of course, if it's higher than 10, it's 10%. It's a bigger number than that. And I think work requirements are a great idea. This is something, this, you know, crazy right-wing fascist idea of work requirements is something originally advocated by Bill Clinton back when he did welfare reform in the 1990s. The idea was, listen, if you're going to get welfare and you're able-bodied and you actually can you know, get out of bed and do something, then you ought to do some kind of work or some kind of training, take classes or do something to try to make yourself prepared to be part of the workforce. And in return, you'll get your benefits. And I think we ought to say the same thing to people who are able-bodied or getting Medicaid. You know, if you are capable of doing any kind of work, if you don't have kids, you're childless and you're able-bodied, you ought to be doing some kind of work or taking some courses and training. There's some Republicans saying, look, even if you volunteer, just do something so you get out of the house, go outside, be part of the workforce or part of the population that's actually going out there and doing something. And perhaps at some point before too long, you'll say, you know what, I kind of like this job. I like working in this nonprofit agency. I'm enjoying learning about welding or carpentry or whatever it might be. And then you get off of Medicaid and actually go get yourself a job and get onto private health insurance. And slowly but surely, you'll see the population of people on Medicaid decrease. And this will be a much smaller burden on the taxpayers than it is today. I think you can do those sorts of things and say to the American people, look, you know, we're not chopping Medicaid and throwing people into the ocean, as the Democrats like to claim. We're doing sensible things that take a big out-of-control program and return it to its original roots, which is something designed for the truly needy, not one quarter of the U.S. population.
So if the congressional Republicans go on the Joy Murdoch plan and they get rid of it for illegal aliens, they find the fraud and weed it out, and they implement the work requirements, Politically, are the Democrats still going to take those three things and say they cut Medicaid?
You know, they always will. Look, I mean, the Republican Party could increase the Medicaid budget by 10% and put, you know, another 15,000 to 25,000 illegal aliens on, and the Democrats will still say, "Oh my God, they're chopping this program." The Democrats always say that because they're deeply dishonest people. But I think that the GOP can respond and explain, this is what we're doing. We're not taking Granny and throwing her into the Bermuda Triangle. In fact, we're basically saying, look, if you're a legal alien, you don't belong on the Medicaid rolls. If you're a fraudster, you ought to be in jail, not collecting taxpayer dollars through Medicaid. And if you're able to work and you're able-bodied, you should leave the house maybe not 40 hours a week, maybe 20, maybe 15, and do something that might give you an opportunity to join the workforce and not be on Medicaid. And I think, like I say, 75-80% of the American people say, you know what, that makes sense, I'll buy that.
Yeah.
So I think it's a very credible and sensible and wise argument the GOP can make if they stand up and make it. And I think if the Democrats do the opposite and just scream and yell, you know, we want illegal aliens in the program, we want the fraud to continue, and we don't want anybody to work, great. You know, I would love to see every Democrat get up and say that nonstop between now and the midterm elections. It'll just dissolve their support even more severely than it's dissolved already.
I would think that those things that you listed there would be maneuvers that the congressional Republicans and Democrats, if they'd like to come along, I'm sure, that would protect Granny from having to be thrown into the Bermuda Triangle down the line because there is no money. It isn't funded because it's been, you know, lost to fraud and abuse, or we've overextended ourselves so much that we can't meet our obligation, that some of these things have to happen in order to protect the people who are vulnerable and to be able to provide for them in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, the Democrats should like this sort of stuff because this takes care of people who really are unable to leave their homes, or really in bedridden, or desperately ill and can't take care of themselves. And if you say, look, you know, we're going to take the people who are engaged in fraud, throw them in prison, and use that money to help people who are in wheelchairs, immobilized under respirators or whatever else it might be, and give those people who cannot take care of themselves the real help that they desperately need, and not help out the people who have broken into this country without any permission or papers, and other people who actually will get benefits, but, you know, they got to do something productive. This is good for the system. This is good for people who really need help. By the way, there's another aspect to this that some Republicans are thinking of, which is essentially importing the government set prices for pharmaceuticals, like you have through the National Health Service or these other big government socialized medicine systems, and basically imposing those foreign prices on the U.S. pharmaceutical industry. That would be very bad for innovation, very bad for the future of modern medicine in this country. And a much better idea is to say to those foreign countries overseas, look, you people have been sponging off of us. You basically keep your prices low, forcing Pfizer and Lilly and Merck to raise their prices in the U.S. to make up for the low prices they're forced to pay, forced to collect over there, much in the same way that people go to drugstores now, and they got to pay higher prices because the shoplifters come in and clean the stores out, so they jack up the prices on honest, law-abiding consumers. This is called Most Favored Nation. It has a delightful name. Most Favored Nation sounds delightful, but it really is just importing a socialist drug pricing scheme is what it is. And the GOP should not be pushing that. What they should be doing is telling the socialized medicine systems overseas, look, if you want American drugs, you need to pay American prices, period.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro. You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history podcast created by me, Professor Greg Jackson. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I think there's some very common sense measures that can be taken and implemented. And as long as you measure, as you present it to the American people, we've got a lot of 80-20 issues. I think that people are seeking out bravery behind the common sense issues. It seems as though you shouldn't have to be so brave to have such common sense, but we're getting back to that a bit. DeRoy, thank you for being with us today. We hope you have a wonderful afternoon. We thank you for your time.
All right, Annie, thanks very much. We'll talk to you soon. Take care. Bye-bye.
DeRoy Murdoch, the Fox News contributor, Project 21 ambassador, and nationally syndicated columnist. He'll have a piece out on the Medicaid potential cuts sometime soon. So you have to check that out. He writes for a lot of different places. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Stewie is going to come in and talk to us next. I don't know if he has much to say about the news that the Federal Reserve holds key interest rates steady amid economic uncertainty. That news just came out within the last hour. But we're going to talk to Stewie of Stewart's American Mortgage about what the market is looking at like right now, how to be a competitive buyer, and to make sure you're not overpaying for a house or overpaying for your loan, certainly. Stewie helped sponsor and make it possible for me to go to Washington, D.C. last week, and I'm so grateful for his partnership here. I myself, two-time customer of Stewart's American Mortgage, and if the opportunity presented itself again for me to need to get another mortgage, there's only one place I would go, and that's Stewie. He's an expert when it comes to this part of the economy, and he's going to be in studio with us next. We'll be right back.